time to feel the rush of the Round Table, live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
The Round Table for Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions. For approvals in as little as an hour and fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca, brokerage license number 13111. Joining us, host of The Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, it's Bill Carroll. Hello, Bill.
Good to be here.
Marika Walsh is a political reporter for the Globe and Mail's Ottawa Bureau. Welcome back, Marika.
Hi, guys.
And always a pleasure, Robert Benzie, Queen's Park Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Jay.
Let's start off with Anna May Paul, the Green Party leader, stepping down today. She, at times, I was just kind of flabbergasted with what she had to say when it came to breaking the glass ceiling, shards of glass falling into her head as she broke that glass ceiling. Here's her in her own words as she made the announcement.
Just will not spend any more time focused on political games as opposed to public policy, which is what I entered politics for in the first place. This was not easy. It has been extremely painful. It has been the worst period in my life in many respects, but I am not alone and you are not alone. We need to see the quest towards equity and justice as a relay race as opposed to a one-person race.
Bill, I'm not a Green Party supporter. I don't lose a lot of sleep over announcements like this, but I couldn't help feeling bad for her, thinking that she just didn't get a fair shake in a party that seemingly turned on her the second she got power.
Yeah, and, you know, it's disturbing to hear the allegations of racism to go along with the glass ceiling and some of the other things you're talking about today, especially since you would expect there wouldn't be that kind of hypocrisy in a more left-leaning party. You know, I liked her during the debate. I thought that she could have played a valuable role in Parliament. But I think now it's time the Green Party took a look and said, what do we do about this? And my suggestion would be disband. I mean, the environment is now every party's issue. Even the Conservative Party is now on board. Maybe not the way some people would like them to be. But I just think that you no longer need a single issue party like this. And that's that this is a moment for them to reflect and say, maybe it's time to move on.
Marika, I heard you laughing there.
I mean, it's an interesting point to Bill's point. There was very little talk of the environment from the Green Party during the election. That's in part because they didn't run a national campaign. And Bill is right that she was really stymied from almost the start, from what we see in the reporting and what I've heard from people behind the scenes. But there is one decision that she truly owns herself, and that is the decision to run in Toronto Centre, a Liberal stronghold, in which her own advisors told her not to run. And so she absolutely was dealt a raw deal and a raw hand from her party. But she also made some decisions and choices that suggested she didn't quite understand or needed, you know, some more sort of advice in the lessons of politics and partisanship in Canada and how that side of it works.
Robert, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Marika makes a good point. I mean, Anna May Paul got 8.5% of the vote, 3,900 votes in Toronto Centre. And she was by far the most famous candidate, even though Marcy Yin's pretty well known. The eventual victor got about 50% of the votes for the Liberal. She was the incumbent. But I mean, Anna May Paul, I think, received around 32 or 33% in the by-election that Marcy Yin won in that riding after Bill Morneau left. So I could see how she could have maybe the conceit of thinking, well, I now am a name brand here. Maybe I can overcome this because she ran a pretty good by-election campaign, but she clearly ran a terrible general election campaign. But I think the bigger story and the more depressing story for those of us who follow politics is just how this party treated a Black Jewish woman. They wanted to be their savior, and it's shown itself to be basically a cult of Elizabeth May and a few of her little friends. It's not a real political party in the national sense. And Bill makes a very good point. Marika's right too. Like all of these parties now have environmental policies. I mean, the leader of the Green Party of British Columbia was campaigning for Justin Trudeau's Liberals during this campaign. So maybe the National Greens. And they're a different party from the Ontario Greens. I think Mike Schreiner is running a very effective party. It's a different, and they're focused on the environment. But I think the National Greens really need to take a good look at themselves because they are basically irrelevant now.
We learned today that unvaccinated visiting NBA players will have something called a national interest exemption when they play in Toronto against the Raptors. Those players must test negative when they arrive in Canada. They'll also be restricted to the team hotel in Scotiabank Arena while in town. And some, Bill, are pointing to the fact that, so if I want to go to the arena and watch, I have to be double vaxxed. But if you're a player, you don't need to be vaxxed. For some, it feels like two completely different sets of rules.
Yeah, and I don't mind that we've seen some rules being bent along the way to get Major League Sports back up and running, because I think it's good for our psychological makeup. I think it's, you start to feel more normal. First, seeing them play in empty stadiums and arenas was better than nothing. And now to hear the cheering crowds, I think it's been great. I went to my first live concert this weekend. Didn't even know I'd miss doing that. And I, you know, we need normalcy. But to hell with them. I mean, if they don't want to get vaccinated, then they should not be able to travel. Look, that's what the NHL is doing. That's what the NHL is saying. You can't travel, so you're going to not get paid for the games you're going to miss. And it should be the exact same for them. I am fed up with it. You know, they won't recognize my mixed vaccine to go to their country, but they're going to send American basketball players up here to make more money in one game than most of us will in an entire year. No, 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 no. Stay home. You shouldn't play if you don't get vaccinated.
Now, Marika, another part of this that's interesting is where you have players that will be restricted to the team hotel in the arena. You know, it's pretty well known in the NBA that Toronto's a good town to go out and enjoy while you're in the city. Does that mean we have an extra set of chaperones now that have to shadow these adults all the time?
I mean, I hope they can govern themselves accordingly. I think that the NBA, and I was really happy to see in the story from The Athletic that the Raptors are all going to be fully vaccinated, because I think this is just about those players. It's about the role model and what message you are communicating to your fans. The NBA has a massive platform. They could do a lot of good by trying to further vaccinations rather than finding loopholes and ways around it.
Robert?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not crazy about that. I mean, I think it's great that to go to see the Raps play, I have to show my vaccine passport to get in. But if I were a player on the Raptors or the Golden State Warriors, for example, where Andrew Wiggins doesn't want to get vaccinated, I would be like, you know what, dude, you're not playing on my team. I don't want to catch your cooties, you know, because you're not vaccinated. I mean, it's just so crazy. And for some of these big name players like Kyrie Irving to not be willing to get vaccinated, I think it's ridiculous that we're giving this exemption. I don't think they should be allowed. To Bill's point, I've got AstraZeneca and Moderna vaccines, so I'm one of those, you know, bastard children like so many of us who've got a mixed vaccine. So that's going to cause me aggro to go into the United States. Like, that's, so if I can't get in and I'm fully vaccinated, why is you know, someone from the New Orleans Pelicans allowed to come into Toronto without being fully vaccinated? It's ridiculous.
Well, we kind of touched on this earlier in the show too, Ryan, and you mentioned, you know, Andrew Wiggins. Is it because of some of the bolder-faced typed players, some of your marquee players that don't want to get vaccinated? Are you then allowing this national interest exemption because this is who people are interested in seeing play?
Yeah, well, too damn bad. I'm sorry. He was quoting religious reasons. Kyrie Irving, I don't know, what he believes the earth is flat, so I have no idea what the hell he's but he does. So, I mean, no, you don't make exemptions for these people. You make a law like, or a rule like the NHL has done, and you move on from it. And if they don't want to be part of it, then don't play. Let's talk about R. Kelly, the R&B superstar known for I Believe I Can Fly and a number of other songs, convicted today in a disgusting sex trafficking trial after decades of avoiding criminal responsibility. Bill, you know, I say throw the book at this guy. I don't think he should ever see the outside world. We were just talking to Lisa G from NBC, and she was saying, you know, she worked in music radio for years. Everybody knew this was going on.
Yeah, and I think in the end, that's the real story. I've managed to kind of avoid the salacious details. I was aware of what was going on with the case because you hear it on radio and TV, but I never dug into the details until I knew we were talking about it on the panel. So thanks for making me read that. You know, it's more disgusting and scary than I ever imagined. This guy is the worst of the worst. It's awful, but you're right. The rumors and more have been floating around about him for a long time. Didn't stop people from recording with him and recording his songs. And, you know, if your name is Polanski or Woody Allen or whatever, we just keep saying that the music business, seeing that the music business and the movie business, they just don't care. And again, the hypocrisy of this, how they lecture the rest of us about how we're supposed to behave and be so woke. And they line up to be around people like this. It is disgusting. Shame on them, and I do hope they throw the book out.
Yeah, Marika, when you go through it, and it is disgusting, the things he is responsible for. This guy's a pedophile. He was running a sex cult. I mean, that is the long and the short of it. So for me, I think you got to put him away and send a message out there.
Yeah, I think the rest of us also need to get a message. Why is it that these women were not believed for so long and were sort of dismissed as entertainment or something to sort of look at rather than address and fix? I think there it leads to broader questions for all of us and how women are treated in these situations and what is viewed as, I won't say acceptable, but sort of not taken seriously until just the absolute mountain of Everest is like landed on somebody. And by mountain of Everest, I mean evidence, like that this mountain of evidence is just like slammed and all of a sudden we're paying attention what was happening for the last 30 years.
Yeah, I hope, Robert, that this means more women will be believed going forward, where we don't have to have, you know, 100 of them on the stand telling the same story.
Exactly. Like, Ryan, these allegations go back a generation, like decades, early 2000s, late 90s kind of thing. So it's really, I mean, and can you imagine the harrowing things? Some of these people were sex slaves. They were actually kept captive by this guy. So, and he faces more allegations or more charges, I think, in two other states. So his legal problems are far from over. I don't think we'll ever see him walk free again. And I think that's a good thing, if given all of the awful evidence that Bill and Marika are talking about. It's just very, very depressing. And you just feel so awful for these poor women that were victimized by this fiend, this awful, awful human being, a monster.
Just it's also good to see that some of the people who enabled him are facing charges, too, because they need to spend a long time in jail as well.
Yeah, there were actually layers and layers and layers around this guy. So I got about 90 seconds left. Let's just get around the room really quickly on this one. New national survey of Canadians shows that nearly half of us don't compost. Here's the reasons. We don't like bugs. Our kitchen's too small, and it's too hard. Where do you fall on this one, Bill?
My kitchen's too small, it's too hard, and I don't like bugs.
Okay, fair enough. That's some good reasoning. It's a good reasoning right there. How about you, Marika?
My kitchen's too small, I don't like bugs, and I do compost.
Good. Oh, Robert, I know you compost.
Whoa, shit, what a goody two-shoes. You compost? Good for you. I don't, like, is compost...
Every day. Yes, please.
Oh my God, you're so Dutch. you know what? Is composting using my Green Men? Because I do that, but
yes,
then I do compost.
No, I do that too.
Okay.
I thought it's where
Dutch.
I put the crap in my backyard and let it rot.
No, just your food scraps, guys.
Too. I thought you meant like a big pile of dirt in the back that the raccoons are going through the eggshells and stuff. Because I don't do that. I just put everything in my green bin. So yes, I do compost. So I am Dutch.
Maybe they should have reworked the question to define what composting was for people.
No,
I think that probably would have been a start. Bill, Marika, Robert, thank you so much. Nothing wrong with being Dutch.
The green bin is not composting. It's throwing it out.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
Thank you all. Rowdy panel. Our thanks to Steve and to Donnie this afternoon and to all of you.
Yes, thank you so much. We're back tomorrow afternoon at 2. Until then, we hope you have the best Monday night ever.